It's important that you watch this entire teaching all the way to the very end until it concludes because of something that's coming up later on. So please keep that in mind. Will you survive the coming apocalyptic events? There's a number of terms used in both the Old and New Testament that deal with the time of the end. Last days is found in 2 Timothy 3:1. Latter days is found in the book of Daniel chapter 10 verse 14. The time of the end is used by the prophet Daniel in chapter 12 and verse 9. Signs of Christ's coming are alluded to in Matthew 24. The end of the age is another term. In the King James, it will say the end of the world, Matthew 24:3. But in reality, that word world there is a Greek word that means the end of the age. And in reality, the disciples of Matthew 24 were asking the question, when will the age of man's rule and man's government end and the kingdom, the messianic kingdom, begin to rule on earth? So that would be called the end of the age. Now, especially today, we are hearing the term used, apocalypse or apocalyptic, quite frequently. And usually the term apocalyptic is used when something momentous, catastrophic, whether it be a war or a natural disaster, begins to take place. So it's a term pointing to what the Bible calls the end of days. Now, let me say something. The end of days, latter time, end of the age, all are time frames that refer to the same thing, and that is events that will be taking place that point to the return of Christ to the earth. That's in Zechariah chapter 14, Revelation chapter 19, in which Christ will set up his kingdom in the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Now, why do secularists or secular journalists or writers often call things apocalyptic? If you have a very destructive tsunami, for example, or you have a very destructive earthquake that just completely shatters a city, or perhaps a hurricane that wipes out a community, a town, or a city, you have major wars. We have major wars taking place now. Or a volcanic eruption that destroys a city or parts of a city or a nation. Many times when there are a lot of deaths connected to the disasters, and let me say that again, when there's a lot of deaths connected to the disasters, it is often called an apocalyptic event. Now, I added something in when I was doing this outline, and I want to share this with you right now, and that has to do with something called birth pains. Now, birth pains are also alluded to in the Old Testament as the word travail. And the word travail is actually mentioned about 31 times in the scripture, and it has reference to when a woman goes into labor and she can feel the pain of the labor prior to the child actually being born. This is called a woman in travail. Many times in the Old Testament, there is a lot of references to a woman being in travail. When Jesus began to give the signs, this is the question the disciples asked, what will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? And they also ask about the destruction of the Jewish temple. And Jesus went through all these events, and these events are called the signs of the time. Now, when Jesus alluded to the fact that people would see wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places, his next statement in Matthew 24, verse 8 was, all of these things, when they begin to happen, are the, quote, beginning of sorrows. Now, sorrows is the King James 1611 translation for the Greek word that means birth pains. Most of your translations outside of the King James will say, these are the beginning of the birth pains. Now, Jesus made it clear a little bit later on, a few verses later, that the, you know, that when you see things begin to come to pass, it doesn't mean it's the end of the end, but it is a beginning sign that the end is approaching. So the birth pains, as you know, come in three series. You have first trimester, second, and third trimester. The most significant, of course, is the third trimester birth pains. Now, if you have, if you're married and your wife has been pregnant and you've had children, you will understand this, but the women will especially understand what I'm about to say. Birth pains are very, very intense, and The closer you get to the child being physically born and the separation of the umbilical cord, the birth pains become closer timed together, from 10 minutes to 8 to 3 to 2, and they also become much, much more intense. Now, I believe if I were to compare what I'm seeing in the earth, in the Middle East, in Europe, in the United States, and I add up everything I know in all the almost 50 years of Bible study, we're in the third trimester birth pains. Now, I can't tell you that we're at the end of the ninth month or we're at the eighth month or, you know, somewhere in there, but we are definitely in a intensifying of the birth pains which have taken place. It's also interesting to note that there are false pains and there are real pains. I think they call them Braxton Hicks, if I'm not mistaken. Forgive me, ladies, if I have that wrong. But my wife one time was having pains and she thought the baby was coming early, and they were called false labor pains, where it does appear to be a pain indicating the coming and arrival of the child, but it is just something happening within the body. So here's what I want to share with you, and I've said this many times, perhaps you've heard me say this before, that the real indicator of the end of the third trimester or the toward the end of the ninth month, and we're using a woman in travail as an example of Christ returning at the very end of days when the birth pains are at the most intense level, is the breaking of the water. I remember when my wife was pregnant and we had had some folks over, she was pregnant with our first child, and you know, bless her heart, she looked like she was carrying a basketball. I mean, really, she literally, the last picture I took of her before this happened, she looked like she had a little basketball underneath her sweater there. And all of a sudden, her water broke. Now, when the water breaks, as most of you know, that is the real sign that you better either get the midwife or go to the hospital, because before long, the baby's going to be arriving. And I remember her water broke. It was the coldest day at that time in 1989 in Cleveland in the month of December. It was cold out. And so she had her bag ready to go to the hospital, but she gets on the phone and starts calling her sisters. Oh, you're not going to believe this. The water broke. Now, I am from West Virginia. I'm a simple-minded husband. I haven't studied a lot about birthing of the child and what happens, but I'm afraid the baby's just going to drop out right in the kitchen floor. And I know that sounds silly. This is a long time ago. I was very young then. And I said, you got to get to the doctor. That baby's coming. Well, she went into more intense labor after the water broke, and shortly after the water broke was when the baby came. Now, I'm telling you that because the real sign of the apocalyptic age and the real sign that the apocalypse is coming, and the apocalypse, I refer to the statements and the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of God in the book of Revelation, is the breaking of water. What do I mean by that? Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit and compared it to your belly having living water to flow through it. In Isaiah chapter 44 and 3, God talks about pouring water upon him that's thirsty and floods upon dry ground, excuse me, and pouring out his Spirit upon people. And then Joel 2 and Acts chapter 2 refer to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the word outpouring refers to the rain and the water that comes to the earth that causes the fruit of the earth or the harvest of the earth to be prepared and ripe for harvest. So what I'm trying to say to you is this, that when you hear pastors, teachers, or ministers begin to tell you that there is coming a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and really, it's already here. Just a while back, this is a few years back, not too long ago, but we were in Gainesville, Georgia for 15 nights, and we went to another great church called Seven Hills, Florence, Kentucky, or up in Kentucky, outside of Cincinnati, and it was amazing. Not only were the crowds amazing, we had almost 5,500 people show up, but the altar services were stunning because the aisles were full, the front was full, filled with seekers, and many people were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you see people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter if it's a Spirit-filled Catholic, Spirit-filled Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, whatever the case may be, when you see this beginning to happen on a global scale, this is that Joel 2, Acts 2 outpouring outpouring. And it says in the prophecy in Joel chapter 2 that it happens before the great and terrible day of the Lord, which is identified by scholars as the Great Tribulation. So there is coming this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back to the theme at hand, which is about the apocalyptic times that we're living in. I have an observation to make. If I were to take the younger generation that's under 30, and I were to take the generation that is over 60, and especially those that are around 70 to 80 years of age that are still with us, I would say to you that the older generation, and that would be those in the 70s and 80s, even 90s. I know friends that are that age. Let's just say it this way, from 65 to 85. That doesn't mean you're old. You're just a older generation compared to the younger ones. I would call them the survivors. They have had to, their parents especially, they dealt with the Holocaust. They dealt with the Great Depression, economic crisis. They dealt with the invention of the nuclear weapon, and they came into the nuclear age. They dealt with the Vietnam War. They dealt with World War II. They dealt with the War on Terror. They've dealt with COVID. And these people that are now in their 80s are survivors, and their parents and grandparents learned how to survive some of the things that were happening. Now, their survival, and I can tell you this having traveled for almost 50 years, can you believe that? Almost 50 years, their survival was centered upon the fact that they were taught by their generation of parents and grandparents how to pray. And I'm telling you, I grew up with four generations of ministers in my family. My father was one of the greatest praying men I've ever met. He prayed every day. He wouldn't pray less than an hour. It wasn't a 5-minute prayer. He would come to my office and say, Perry, you want to have a word of prayer? He actually called me brother. Brother, you want to have a word of prayer? And I knew his word of prayer was going to last at least 1 hour. It's like he had an internal clock that he knew how to pray an hour. But I will tell you that my mentor, Floyd Lahan, you'll hear me say this from time to time from here on out. One of my great pastor mentors, Brother Floyd Lahan, made a statement to me. He said, Perry, there's never been anything I've gone through or dealt with that I couldn't pray myself through. And that has stuck with me all of these years. There's nothing that can happen. So the old timers knew prayer. Now, the younger generation, and I hate to say this, with the exception of a few, I mean, we have a Warrior Fest every year. Usually in the spring, we see thousands of young people come, and these young people are the cream of the crop, man. They pray. They pray intently. They worship, and they are a wonderful group. So there are some great and wonderful young people. However, my concern as someone that has been in the surviving generation to survive attacks, personal things, ministry things, national things, physical things, we who have learned how to survive are concerned about our children, who some of them are in their, you know, late 20s and 30s or 40s, and our grandchildren. Because I get concerned that the way our nation is going and the way the world is going, that we will have an America in the future that our children and grandchildren may never know the America or the freedom that we actually grew up with. And, you know, that we're into a police state and tracking and high taxes. I mean, everything is just kind of crazy right now. So that is what concerns me. Now, Jesus talked about the destruction of Jerusalem in Luke 23, 28 through 29. And it said, this is a verse here that says, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed. And that particular verse is Luke 23, 28 through 29. Another verse says this, but woe to you, those of you who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, Luke 21, 23. And of course, some scholars refer that to the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. And he even warned, he said, be careful if you're pregnant, because you're going to have to flee to the mountains. Now, the Christians, but about 68 AD, left the city of Jerusalem and fled to across the Jordan River to Pella in the country of Jordan. But it was 62 miles. It was a seven. If you went 7 miles a day walking, for example, it would take you 8 days to get there. But if you were pregnant, you would have to move much slower through the mountains in order to get there. Also, he was talking about those that were breastfeeding. Of course, you have to stop and feed your child, and you have to have a way of carrying the infant. So it would take a pregnant woman or a woman breastfeeding her infant much more time to get there. Roman soldiers could be very vicious if they caught the women and the children. They often sold them as slaves. And one of the examples of how they treated children was King Herod in Bethlehem went to Ramah in the area of Bethlehem and slew all the children that were under two years of age, hoping to kill Christ. That's Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. So what I want to say to you is this, that we're coming into a time when I think this may be found in the book of Jasher, which is not considered an inspired book, but it is mentioned by name two times in the Bible. So in 1840, a copy of it was found in a monastery, but it talked about, and I'm trying to go from memory here, that Noah was about 480 years of age. He was not going to get married because he knew from a prophecy from Adam that the world was going to be destroyed by water. So he didn't want to have children and a wife that was going to be destroyed. But God visited him and told him to marry and told him to have a family. And of course, we read in the Bible that he did marry and he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And of course, the flood came 120 years later. Now, if you'll remember in Genesis, God said to Noah, man's days shall be 120. So God was telling him he was 480 then, that he'd have 120 years, have the family, build the ark. Took 100 years to build the ark. And on the 600th year of Noah's life, the flood came. But according to this historical record, which was handed down by word of mouth, later written down, Noah felt that he shouldn't marry because destruction was coming, but yet God preserved him, did you hear what I said, and let him live through that time frame. Now, one thing I want to share with you is if you have a family, let's say, and we go all over the world. We go into Russia and Romania and other great nations. But if you are living, let's say, in the States, one of the things you should find out is where are the safer zones and where are the more dangerous zones. Remember in Lot's day, there were five cities. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim were destroyed by a fiery destruction, but up on the mountain was a very small town named Zoar, and Lot was allowed to flee there and to be protected in a town that was on the mountains. Now, when you read the book of Revelation chapter 6:15 and 6:16, it tells you that men will flee to, this is now when the wrath of God is poured out, but they're going to flee to the, and hide themselves in dens and in caves. Now, that word dens, the way it's written, can refer to what we would call today underground bunkers. And there are a lot of wealthy people all throughout the United States and outside as well that have built massive underground survival bunkers because they believe that terrible things are going to happen and they will be able to live. Some of them are so massive that they have pools in them, they have cafeterias in them, and this would be for the extreme wealthy, by the way, but they are in the mountains. And many of these are hidden in mountain areas. So they go to dens, but they also go to caves because some of these are under the government, for example, has what we would call today tunnels. We would say they're caves dug out, and they have underground bunkers in certain mountains and certain, some of them I know about, but I never make public where they're located. Now, you do have, for example, towns that are being literally overrun now with people. Some of them are coming from the Northeast. Some of them are coming from the West. For example, in the state of West Virginia, my grandparents were from a small town named Davis, and near that was 2 miles of town named Thomas. And I went up there recently, and I could not believe the houses that they're building. And there's a reason they're doing it that I'm not going to get into detail about a bullet train that's supposed to be built one day. And so people are moving from the cities, selling their expensive homes, and going and building $200,000-$400,000 homes in the mountains of, let's say, West Virginia. Leesburg has been just, and I love Leesburg. I go up in that that area sometimes, but a lot of people have moved into Leesburg that are not West Virginia natives or Kentucky or Tennessee natives. They've come from all the northeastern states and sometimes western states. So people are leaving cities, and it's not because of necessarily they're Bible believers. They're leaving because of high taxes. They're leaving because of four or five different things, and they're coming into, you know, into the Midwest. They're coming into Tennessee like crazy, to be honest with you. And Cleveland is an interesting place because we live in what's called the horseshoe. And when the jet stream's coming this way with snow and ice, the big snowstorm that came recently that everybody got hit, Nashville was shut down a week without power. We didn't get snow and we didn't get ice. And on Monday, everybody was back at work because it's called the horseshoe. But I would say three things, and I'm almost out of time. Number one, Luke 21:19, you have to have patience, which is being steadfast in waiting for something without stressing out. Matthew 10:22, you have to endure. We have to endure to the end, which means to bear up under the weight of the pressure of the times. And the other verse I would give you is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You should pray without ceasing. And that word ceasing, I looked it up in Greek, means without an intermission. So I would suggest it means this, that when you start praying, go into prayer intently. You know, Jesus said, can you not tarry an hour? Instead of having, you know, pray 2 minutes, have a break. You know, it means without an intermission. So pray when you pray, nonstop. And also, you need breaks from time to time. That's why I have these conferences, for you to get away from the pressure and the stress and come and be with God's people. Now, I have something special. I want you to get this. If you don't have it, get it today. It's very unique. I'll be right back in a moment.
Are you raising children in our increasingly dangerous, deceptive, and apocalyptic world? How do you protect them from spiritual darkness and the schemes of the enemy? How do you protect yourself, your family, and your church, and stand firm as the storms intensify?
Hello, this is Perry Stone, and I'm excited to announce that my son Jonathan and I have completed our first co-authored prophetic book, Children of the Apocalypse. This powerful 24-chapter, 277-page volume is overflowing with transformational prophetic insight and includes urgent, practical protocols for you, your city, your church, and your children. 12 of the 24-chapter topics include cribs in the crossfire, pornography, the electronic seduction, infants, children, and pregnant women at the time of the rapture, secrets to protective prayers, beware of becoming a scammer's victim, preparing for a sudden societal breakdown, forming an apocalyptic family plan, protocols and wisdom to outwit an attacker, protecting your church, your ministry, and your congregation, dangerous places to be living when the birth pains begin. When is it time to flee to the mountains? The curve that rules the beast, the Babel effect, and so much more. I want you to order now and receive a limited first edition copy personally signed by myself, Perry Stone, and my son, Jonathan. As a special bonus, you will receive the new 2-hour series available on CD or digital download, in which I will present compelling evidence that we are now entering the major birth pain cycle of 2026 and beyond, along with another powerful message unleashing the new pre-tribulation signs. This signed edition of Children of the Apocalypse is available exclusively through Perry Stone Ministries. I want you to order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, and request offer CA-153 for your donation of $30 or more. Or you can mail in your request for the offer number CA-153 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Your copy is waiting, so please contact us today. I will promise you, you will glean powerful new information and prophetic content. And I love the protocols, because we're going to teach you how to be an overcomer and how to deal with the serious challenges that are lying ahead as we are now entering the final cycle of the major birth pains before the return of the Lord. I am looking forward to hearing from you. And remember, your giving helps keep Manifest on the air. Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining me on the telecast today, and it's been a pleasure bringing the Word of God to you. It takes a lot of time and a lot of work to present the Manifest telecast around the world, but it's well worth it because of the spiritual results that we are having with literally seeing tens of thousands of people converted to Jesus Christ throughout the year. We are in many of the major countries of the world, entire nations and continents that exist on this planet get the Manifest telecast through different methods, many of them through television networks and through satellite. I do want to encourage you to get the book. People are reading books again. We went through a spell there for a while. I should say a season, where people were not reading. They were simply going to the internet and they were clicking on videos and watching videos. But did you know that when you take a book and you read it out loud, that you retain a much higher percentage of the information than just watching something or hearing something? And I want you to get this book, Protocols for Flourishing Spiritually and Practically in the Last Days. There are some things here that you've got to hear that I believe. In fact, I've had people that have read many of our books said, Perry, this one has more, not just insight and revelation prophetically, but practical information that I can use, my children can use, my family can use, and my church can use than anything you've ever put out. So get the book, and we're in the birth pains, folks, and this will teach it to you. It's 2 hours. And so we'll get this to you when you order it right now at perrystone.org or 1-888-21-BREAD. Now, it's important also that you understand, I want to try to push you toward this, because some things that we're about to do in the very near future that we're going to be announcing in a few weeks are going to be significant when it comes to perrystone.org. Perrystone.org is our website. Now, we have articles there. We have a partners only website. And partners, listen to me, if you're a partner of our ministry now, you're about to get double blessed in a few months. And if you're not a partner, you may want to go ahead and join in advance, because we're getting ready to open up the legacy vaults, 5 vaults here at Voice of Evangelism. And each month, you as a partner are going to receive, for being a partner, video downloads and message downloads. Some of them will be 40 years old, 30 years old. Some of those will be my mentors, Tia Lowry, Fred Stone, Floyd Lahan, but mostly older messages where revivals broke out that went 8, 10, and 11 weeks. I have those tapes in vaults, but I want you to hear them. And so contact us for partnership at the Voice of Evangelism Ministries, and get ready for the release in the summer months of the new partnership. And also, I just want to let you know, several places I'm coming to. I will be coming to the Kentucky Camp Meeting June the 10th, Lexington, Kentucky, and Redemption Church in Knoxville also June 12th through the 14th. God bless you.